the realm of your word. Father, I thank you so much for your word, because without it, who would govern our thoughts? Who would direct our life? Where would we go? What kind of timing would we be in? What kind of crop would we produce? But because we have the word, Father, our life can be brought to completion, brought to maturity as never before. Amen. Well, we've been talking about the tithe and the offering. We had to cover some issues, first of all, before we get into the fullness of the tithe and the offering. The tithe and the offering over the years has been polluted, extremely polluted. And next Sunday, I'm going to be talking about what brings the pollutant to the tithe and the offering, the giving. But right now, I want to begin to establish very boldly and very clearly that the tithe and the offering is not done away with. It's very much intact. But I want to show you where it belongs, who it belongs to, and what is the purpose of it. Well, again, like I'd say, the tithe and the offering has been extremely polluted, because basically people do not understand the understanding of covenants. They don't understand the responsibility of this inward counsel that was given to us at the new birth. And so when we get into all these things and we bring them together, remove a lot of confusion from the lives of people. God never called you to something you can do in the natural. He always calls you to do something that in the natural it doesn't seem possible. But you know, that's how God stretches us. He gets us to do things that are beyond our natural mean. They might be little small steps at first, but eventually, as you mature and grow, it will expand. I had many people really enjoy last Wednesday night's message. Got a lot of response from that particular message. If you were not there, you need to get the tape. You need to get the tape and listen to it. I want to share something with you. I can't divulge fully what's happening to me here just recently, more than ever, but I know that 13 years of committed time in prayer, some things are beginning to happen. And I want to encourage as many as you can possibly, please try to make the services, because there's more information being added all the time and more clarity given to my understanding of the Word of God. And I'm not trying to build myself up on a pedestal, but I do know that there's some clarity, some answers coming to me that I've never had before. At first, I'm a little shocked if that's a proper word to use, at blanket statements now that are coming out of my spirit. And I ask God, how come they weren't as clear before? And he says, because your fellowship, that praying in that heavenly language, that tongue that I've given your inner man, was not as prolific as it is now. And he says, your rewards are coming back on that. Mm-hmm. And so I thank God for that, because within myself I know nothing. But because of the Holy Spirit at work in my heart, I can know whatever I need to know about my Savior, my Lord, and my kingdom, the kingdom that we serve. Amen. One of the greatest dangers to the church today is complacency in hearing. I feel sorry for believers who are losing a desire to hear the Word of God. Sunday evening, not this Sunday evening, but the Lord willing, next Sunday evening, for your information, some realms of understanding has opened up to me as never before in our thought life. The operation of the soul. God began to show me some things about Ephesians chapter 6, about the armor and the misconceptions that the church has brought forth on concerning the armor of God in our warfare against the adversary. What brought it to my attention, I was given some tapes by an evangelist. I don't feel led to share his name. And he was talking about the armor of God. And as I was listening to it, he began to give me a check on a lot of statements that were being said. And I didn't know why. Because it was the typical stuff that you always hear. You know, put on the armor of God, and, you know, the helmet of salvation, you know, and that gives you all the symbolisms and all about the battle armor. And God began to show me some things out of that chapter that really caught my attention with amazement. And it opened up a whole different area of understanding. Matter of fact, I do understand a little bit more how Lucifer fell. You know, who tempted him to fall? Have you ever wondered about that? I have a deeper understanding now of how he operates in the believer's mind. I understand now why the symbolism of the armor was given. Next Sunday night, the Lord willing, we're going to get into our thought life. We're going to get into the process of the renewing of the mind. And we're going to see the effects that our thought life brings us. We're going to see how Peter could walk on water 1 second, just one time, on a word that Jesus, and immediately at the same time begin to sink. So there's something about our thinking that can either bring a blessing to us or rob us of the greatest victory in our life. And if we don't know how to get a control of our thought life, we'll fail like many who did not get a control of their thought life. And so I'm going to do my best to bring forth in words of clarity to the understanding of our thinking. Because the Bible's very clear, we need to bring every thought into captivity to see to it that it lines up or measures with the Word of God. And that's important. Do you know, people, before I question, I seriously question things that I couldn't find in the Bible concerning an end time revival. Now I'm convinced there will be one. As never before, I'm convinced that where God is trying to take us is where revival is. And the only way that it's going to come is through knowledge, through understanding the kingdom of God who we represent. How many of you are following what I'm talking about? And I believe until the Word of God can touch our thought life, we're going to be destitute of any form of revival until we do something about the way we think. And I think that the church is going somewhere in the Lord. Not just our church, but all churches that represent the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's get into our subject this morning. I want you to write this down. I want you to write this down. If you have pencil and paper, I want you to write this down. And while you're doing that, at the same time, turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, in the early church, there was much confusion concerning the relationships of the three great covenants that existed at the time of the early church. Can anybody tell me what covenants they were? Well, number one, we know about the Abrahamic covenant. Number two, we know about the Mosaic covenant. And number three, we know about the New Covenant. The New Testament, New Covenant. And so because these three great covenants coexist or cohabited together at the inception of the early church, much confusion was displayed because of these three covenants. But you know what? I thank God for the Apostle Paul. God took him to a place of revelation where no natural man could give it to him. So it was an act of God's grace to pull Paul up into the third heaven and off for about 3 years, he taught Paul personally. Jesus Christ himself taught Paul personally. How would you like to be taught personally by the resurrected Christ?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? He says, I was caught up in the third heaven. And he says, the things that I was taught, no man could even lawfully present this information. So Paul had a clarity to the understanding of why he was pulled out of due season. A lot of people don't understand what he even meant by that. I was one born out of due season. Well, what he was talking about is the other apostles that had preceded him were not doing their job. They should have been bearing fruit that Christ wanted them to bear. And yet the Judaizers came back in and began to bring confusion to the other apostles. And so what God did is he decided, well, to show my strength and power to the known world, I'm going to bring up to the third heaven a man who's destroying my church to recover it. Mm-hmm. Now, can I ask you something? Is that not God?
Yep.
You know, the devil can destroy your life by your weaknesses, and God can promote you by your weaknesses. Did you know that?
Yep.
You know, some of us don't know that. You know, because just recently, dealing with this issue of my thought life, I had a presence of God come into my car supernaturally the other day when I got a glimpse at my ungodly thought life that brought a clarity to the greatest victory I've sought for several years. Thank God for the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. One of the questions is, how did Lucifer fall? His fall was a pattern that he worked off of from anything under that fall that followed. Started with Adam and Eve. Very interesting. Well, one of the things that was real confusing was my understanding of the operation of the tithe and the offering. And up until recent, I had a particular individual mentor me into the understanding that the giving of the tithe or the offerings had to come through the issue of a man's heart. But in the same token, it seemed like the tithe then was literally disintegrated. It no longer existed. But I had a question out of Hebrews chapter 7 that confused me, and I finally discovered the answer to it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Can anybody say that with me? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. We'll tell you why in just a second. But here's what I want you to write down. The Mosaic Covenant was do something, therefore live. The new covenant is to receive life, therefore do. Now it's important that you understand this because of what we're going to get into. The Mosaic covenant was do, therefore live, and the new covenant is receive life and therefore do. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, let's go to verse 13. And keep your focus on the tithe and the offering. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherefore, God willing more abundantly show unto you, heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, as an anchor of the soul, both sure, actually it's the Greek word safe, and steadfast or firm. In other words, there is an anchor that can get into our soul that will bring a safety and a firmness to our life. A mind that is not anchored will drift. Now notice what he says, what it is. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I like the Greek, the way it's got it worded. And entering into the inner side of the veil. Which I'd never seen that before, because I had this concept, the forerunner, meaning the forerunner of a man who tied his a rope around the bow of the ship, tied a rope around his waist, and would dive into the water and anchor the rope firm and steadfast on something on shore so that the boat could be pulled in deep dark fog or something where you couldn't see, and pull the ship to a safe place to anchor so that all the inhabitants of the boat could get on land safely. Because there was rocks usually to the shore that would destroy ships and boats, you know. And so they had this, what they call a forerunner, not like Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elijah. That's not the type of forerunner that's mentioned here. It's the type of forerunner that stood at the bow of a ship. And when they got close to shore, they knew they did. He would drop something into the water, something that would be with a rope that would be heavy to give the depth of how close the ground's getting to the boat. And when they found that the ground was very critically close to the bottom of the boat, then he would tie the rope around his waist, dive into the water and swim to shore, anchor the boat, and then the boat could pull itself as close as they wanted to without destroying the ship. How many understand what I'm saying? That is the word for here, forerunner. Now notice, I hadn't picked this up, this particular forerunner said that he went within the veil. The Old Testament tabernacle had what you call an inner court, and then the most holy place. Are you following me? And there was this big veil that literally is separated the two, and only behind the veil could the high priest go every year with blood, and he had to make the atonement. And the Holy of Holies is actually a type of the inner sanctuary where the risen Christ abides as a result of the shedding of His blood, which means, in New Testament terms, the spirits of just men made perfect. And the Spirit of Christ is what is entered into your human spirit. You have the Spirit of Christ. Well, you don't have His Spirit. You have your own spirit. But it's the same life and the same nature. That was the prophecy we had today. It's the same life and nature that was in the Spirit of Christ. And we inherited that at the new birth. The sad thing is people do not understand how to recognize the power of the new birth. And we're going to do some teaching on that so that you won't sit there and say, well, yes, bless God for the new birth, but the Holy Ghost. If you don't understand the power of the new birth, the Holy Ghost is helpless in your life. He's literally helpless to do anything with your life. Because the Holy Spirit has to work with the life and nature that is within your spirit in order for you to comprehend God. That's why I taught last Wednesday night for those of you that were not here. Mainly because you were probably lazy and didn't want to come to church. Shut up, John. Don't get that on the people, because I want to keep confidence with them today. Anyway, I had brought out, and I am teaching very specifically, I am teaching something that will change your life. Because it's changing mine. And I brought out, there are several reasons, there are several basic ingredients that have to be alive in your life in order for you to be led of the Spirit of God. And one of them is you have to know His nature within your spirit. Right. And we talked on the issue of love. We covered those areas. So, notice here, in Hebrews chapter 5, what we read, the forerunner for us entered, Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was not a pre-incarnate Christ. No man ever came down from heaven but the Son of Man. Are you following me? Now, notice what he said. He said that he was a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now follow me very closely. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, Abraham blessing Melchizedek, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descendants, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, it's typology only, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Jesus, the one abiding as a priest continually. He goes on to say, now consider how great this man was unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they who that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment, underline the word, a commandment, to take tithes of the people according to the law. According to the law. That is, of their brethren. Though they come out of the loins of Abraham. Who come out of the loins of Abraham? Levi, the Levitical priesthood. Now notice, but he whose descendant is not counted from them, who would that be? Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Melchizedek was not a descendant of the Jewish nation, people. Now notice this. He goes on to say, but he whose descendant is not counted from them received the tithes of Abraham and blessed him. Who would Melchizedek bless? Blessed
Abraham.
Are you guys all in agreement with that? I hope you are. Because that's what's in the text here. He says, blessed Abraham. Blessed Abraham. That had the promise. And without all contradiction, I want you to underline the word, the promises. The promises. And without all contradiction, the less, which would be Abraham, is blessed of the better, which would be Melchizedek. And here men that die receive tithes. This is a very interesting construction of the Greek scripture. It is in the perfect tense. It means something that took place past tense, that action is still going up present tense. And it's an action that goes future tense.
Amen.
It means action without end.
Yes.
I thought the tithe was done away with. It's not taught in the New Testament. That is a bunch of garbage. The tithe is taught in the New Testament. You just have to pick it up. The reason it's not so boldly imprinted in the New Testament is because it was well established in the Abrahamic covenant. Guess what? You and I have an inheritance according to Ephesians chapter 1. You know what inheritance that is? One believer, I asked him, he says, oh, I've inherited the new covenant. I'm no longer connected to those Old Testament covenants. I says, well, would you explain to me the Old Testament covenants? And you know what they lived through in there? The Abrahamic covenant. They threw that in there. I want to share something with you about covenants. Very interesting. You ready? Again, I brought out that the early church had a lot of confusion concerning the relationship of the three gate covenants. Why? Well, first of all, the early church had a problem with Gentiles being grafted in. They only thought salvation was for the Jew. Well, the Abrahamic covenant's very interesting. Did you know Abraham was a Gentile? I didn't mean to shock any of you. Do you know what made him a Jew? Anybody got any idea what made him a Jew? What made Abraham a Jew? By faith. What made him a Jew? Through the operation of faith. Can anybody tell me? Can any of you Bible scholars tell me? What made Abraham a Jew when he's a Gentile? Say it real big. Thank you. You know what circumcision was called? Abrahamic covenant was called the covenant of circumcision. According to Acts chapter 7 verse 8. Write that down. We're not going there. You can search it out for yourself. Acts 7, 8. The seal, now listen, the seal of circumcision is fulfilled in the new covenant circumcision of the heart. Not of the flesh, but of the heart. Now you ready? In the spirit. Jesus, the forerunner, who went beyond the veil, he went into the most holy place. It's signifying our hearts. We were circumcised in spirit. What do you mean in spirit? God came down and he performed an act called the new birth, and he separated us from the dictates of our flesh by circumcising and cutting away our inner man from the dominion of our outer man.
Amen.
By life and nature. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh man, I'm so excited about this.
Amen.
I'm excited about this. Why? It's my victory. It's my hope. It is the very thing that I need to overcome the dominion of my flesh that wants to sin. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now notice this. You'll find this in Romans 2, Ephesians 2, and Galatians 6. Romans 2, 24 and 29. Also, I think it was around verse 10 or 14, somewhere around there. Paul gave an argument to the known church that exists at the time to slam dunk the Judaizers that hung on to the Mosaic law and claimed that they were also a part of the Abrahamic covenant. And Paul says, that's very interesting. Then why are, and you got to remember, the book of Romans was written a little over halfway through the completeness of the New Testament Bible that you got in your lap. Meaning over a little over half of the Bible is already established in a written form when Paul mentioned Romans 2. I think it was around somewhere around 57, 58. A.D. is when that Bible was written. Many of the epistles and the synoptic gospels were written before that one. You know what he says? Okay, you Jews, you brag on keeping the law. Do you therefore live? What about those that don't have the law? Don't even understand what the law is all about yet. By a nature, they keep it and fulfill it and perform it. And you're not. You know what the difference was? By nature.
Right.
What nature? The new birth.
Right.
When you got born again, you had a nature and life in you that is not a lie, but is of truth. It's how you know God. That's why when I saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the Spirit searches the deep things of God, that is how I know God. They put the Holy Ghost there. The Holy Ghost is not the reason why you know God. It's the new birth that God gave you. The Spirit He gave you. That's how you know Him. You have to know him by that life and nature. It was prophesied this morning. I covered this in more detail on Wednesday night because we got into the height, the width, the length, the length, whatever that was that I covered. Now, the Abrahamic covenant was everlasting and irrevocable. It was not annulled by the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant was temporarily imposed upon Israel for the benefit of the whole world to prefigure the person and work of Christ that was to come.
Amen.
Hebrews 9, 9 and 10.
Yep.
Here's the problem that the nation of Israel had. Here's the problem that they had. Are you ready? They didn't have the heart condition that was required to be able to perfectly fulfill the terms of keeping God's commandments out of love and obedience. It was not within Israel or any other nation to reach and perform because of the law of sin that was at work in their hearts called spiritual death.
Right.
Christians always tell me, I just don't understand how to overcome. And yet you never see him in church. You never see him hearing the word of God. You never see him performing and doing the word of God. Why? Because they've neutralized their inward life and caused it to be aborted. And within their own heart, they die as a little baby. And not even realize you've got to do something about your inner man. You've got to feed him. You've got to feed him. You've got to feed him. Why? So you can see that life begin to grow out of you. Because the fruit is on the branches, people. It's not on the Spirit alone. Man, I've got to stay calm. You know, so great of a salvation. Can any of you say we have a great salvation?
Amen.
We have a great salvation.
Hallelujah.
We have a great salvation.
Yeah.
We have a great salvation. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Then why do we abuse it?
Right on.
Yep. I've abused it long enough. I made a commitment that I've never made before. And it's simply because I have more insight, knowledge about myself. Made a commitment to God, yes, 2 weeks ago, when He was dealing with me about my thought life. And I turned, and it was the first time in my life, it was like when God dealt with me about my relationship with my Sue. Remember I shared that with you? I'm married. What an alarming reality. And we've been married quite a few years. Why? Because God got down in a resource in my heart and removed my ability to vindicate. So what does that mean? It hit me. I'm married. You know what? That doesn't shock you at all. Unless you're on the way out in your marriage. Then it might be a shock. Now I understand 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. When you're hooked to Christ, you're responsible for your relationships. There ain't no way out. Thank God for Paul's discernment. Well, I found a way for you if you've got to insist on the out. Here's the way. But the only thing is it violates your inner nature in life. Now, according to Deuteronomy chapter 5, 28 and 29, and Romans 7, 7 through 22, it was impossible for an unregenerate man to do anything. So what do you mean? Well, then we have to have somebody come and do something. We had to have a man by the person of Jesus come and do something. He did one thing. First, he fulfilled his part to the Abrahamic covenant, so you and I can inherit those blessings. And number two, are you ready? He completed the Mosaic covenant to put it away. How did he complete? Let me ask you something. Is the Ten Commandments done away with?
No.
Well, he fulfilled the Mosaic covenant. I've heard Christians say, we don't live by the Ten Commandments anymore. I know we live by the New Covenant. What's the New Covenant? Living by the Ten Commandments because it's written in our hearts.
Right. Yep.
Did you know the Ten Commandments? You know what the righteousness of the Ten Commandments are? Are you ready? The righteousness of the Ten Commandments, are you ready? Is they come with a new nature, the new life. Somebody said, I can't get over drugs. I can't break the bondage of drugs. That is a lie. Because the basis of all drug inducement is covetousness. You covet drugs to fulfill a fleshly need. That is a lie. If you're born again, you have the life and nature to overcome that. Here's the problem. You've got to feed the inward life in order to get rid of the outward life.
Amen.
I know I come to church and I hear a message and I just get so condemned and I know how bad I am. And so they run back out into the world and that's going to be their answer. You know what that's saying? I don't know why I got this brand new car. I drove it for a while and it went dead on me and it don't go nowhere. Yeah, but they got gas station. I know they got gas station, but listen, I don't understand why this car won't move. I just like a Christian that says, I don't understand why I'm not growing spiritually. When was the last time you been to church? When was the last time you had fellowship with the Holy Ghost? When was the last time you did the things that are necessary for the inward person?
Amen.
Same thing as a car, you don't put gas in it.
Yep.
I was driving Tim Skag one day. Sucker died on me. What if I'd have got off and says, I know why this skag doesn't work anymore. It's the lawn that I'm mowing. It's a bad lawn. Hallelujah. And not only that, but the skag has a problem today. I don't know where it is. Have you ever thought about gas? Oh.
I'm tired of limp biscuits and spaghetti spine Christians.
Verse 8 of Hebrews 7. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth of them who it is witness that he liveth. Now notice, he brings Jesus into this picture. As I may so say, Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Well, what is that all about? Paid tithes in Abraham? Notice this. For he, Levi, was yet in the loins of his father, which is Abraham, when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise, which would be Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek? Well, then why did he use the tithe? Because what he's saying is the tithe was never done away with. It's part of the Abrahamic covenant, what we inherited. And here's what we don't understand about our inheritance. We need a council worthy of administering our inheritance.
Right.
Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to close it covering this. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about how we've been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to his good pleasure of his will. Of his will. Well, this is son placing. To the praise of the glory of him, the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, wrong, that in the stewardship of the fullness of time, he might put together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. And in the Greek, the word here, obtained an inheritance, is the Greek word kleros, which means the dice has already been tossed. And guess what? Abraham and the pre-incarnate Christ, which was the recipient of that was Jesus. Those two cut the Abrahamic covenant of our inheritance for sonship. Are you following me? Because the Abrahamic covenant is what brought in the new and everlasting covenant. Sonship is what they cut and they agreed on, and they both lived it out. They both fulfilled it and completed it so that you and I would inherit it.
Right. Yep.
Amen? Now, did you know that when a person on some occasions was left a last will and testament, do you know what usually comes with it? You know what usually comes with it, people? Huh? Instructions. There might come a counsel with our inheritance. Are you following me? Well, let's look at where the counsel comes. Notice this. Predestinated, verse 11, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. Notice this. After the counsel of his own will. I want you to underline that. I want you to underline that verse. After the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ or hoped. And whom also, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now ready? In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, it's different in the Greek. The word sealed here, are you ready? Is referring to the new birth. By the Holy Spirit. Who conceived in the womb of Mary? Say it real loud.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit did the work of conceiving in the womb of Mary. Did he not? And the seed that conceived in her womb came from God. Are you following me? And we were sealed with that Holy Spirit. Why? Because he's the down payment of our inheritance. Why? He is the one who is going to administer the counsel of Christ over your life.
That's right.
Now let me ask you something. If he has a counselor that's going to administrate his will, then where did this idea come that the tithe was done away with? I don't find it in Scripture. Matter of fact, I find that Scripture validates that nothing went with it. Nowhere. No how. You know what makes the tithe such a grinding thing? Because of the polluting of the prosperity message that we're receiving today. Give to get. I got news for you. We have duped the body of Christ by thinking that if they take something and they throw it into the kingdom of God, it'll rain out of nowhere. You say, see if I will not pour out a blessing unto you in Malachi. The word blessing means I will speak something to your favor. A lot of Christians, the blessings have been before them and they've refused it because they've been called of God to leave a secular job and go in and, just wait on God. And that's called living by faith. Well, I find in Scripture the New Testament covenant says a man that won't work is denying the faith.
Yep.
Thank God for my son Tim. I'm so proud of him. Because that man works. He knows what work's about. He drives me crazy. I can't hardly work with him because he works. And I'm called of God. The man knows how to make things work. Why? Because he's not afraid of work.
Yep. Right.
You take work away from my son, he he wouldn't know what to do. Well, I raised him that way. Now notice this. The Holy Spirit is the one he's saying here that is the counsel of his own will, which is the earnest of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession and the praise of his, which means our glorified body until we receive our glorified body. Wherefore, I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And the inheritance in the saints. Now, I want you to hold your place and go over to chapter 3. We're going to be quitting here in a minute. Chapter 3. Verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. And to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation, for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that should be a small s, not a big s. That you be strengthened with might by his Spirit, the new birth in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Did you know that in order for you to comprehend the person of God is that the very life and nature of God, which is love, passes all logical knowledge. It's not logical that you would love your enemies and do good to them that persecute you. Why? Your inner life and inner nature transcends that knowledge. You're not bound by it. You're not bound by another man's mistakes. You're only bound by the issues that are in your own heart. We don't realize it, but we use people to be scapegoat with. Well, go ahead and keep doing that, and you'll go nowhere in God. You'll just divide yourself from the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, division's satanic. Now look at this. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice this, according to the power that worketh in us, and he's referring to the operation of the Holy Spirit in our new birth. If your spirit doesn't have a desire to search out the deep things of God, the Holy Ghost ain't got nothing to show you.
Right.
You shut that Holy Spirit down at work within. You shut your inner spirit down from searching out the deep things of God. You shut that down. The Holy Ghost is then has got a bandage around its mouth. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, you can have all the Holy Ghost you want. You're not born again. You don't know nothing. It takes the life and nature of God and in your heart to understand or comprehend the fullness of what God is. What is God? It says the height, the width, the length, the breadth. Anybody got any idea what that's all about? I covered it last Wednesday. Four faces of love. The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. Generosity, giving. Generosity, giving, protecting side, the believing side, which is faith, and the correcting side. A lot of Christians don't know how to take the correction of God. They think it's just nothing but a bunch of condemnation junk. No, God judges your inner thoughts, what's not right in your heart. God judges that. A lot of us have got to start waking up to child training and discipline. A lot of us move from body to body because we get corrected. We don't like it, so we got to get out from under the correction. And the Lord said, if I can't correct one of my children, he said, they're just like bastards. They don't know where their parents belong or are. Now, one of the generosity or giving side is I've noticed that when you start with God, wherever you're at, not the full tithe, but wherever you're at, when you give that money, it abounds back to God with much thanksgiving. Now, you ready for this? He even has a verse that says that's how you prove the sincerity of your love for your brethren. Now I'm going to close, because some of you want me to. I'm going to close with this thought. The tithe and offering is designed for the priesthood, period. What's designed for you, the pew setter, is to hook up with your responsibility of letting the Holy Ghost work in your heart to show you where the blessings are found on planet Earth, where you can go out and gather. Some can gather great, some can only gather a little. But that there be an equality, he didn't mention the operation of the tithe in Corinthians. Why? Because you're not bound to a tenth where you start. You're only bound with what you have, what you are gathering. Listen, if you don't understand this principle, how are you going to change on the job? You'll always hate your job. How are you going to change in a relationship with your husband or your wife? It's got to start somewhere. You got to start giving somewhere.
Yep.
Well, it's the same thing with money. Now listen, we're going to look at the curse that's been placed on the tithe. And we're going to go to the book of Haggai, and you guys ought to go read that book. Very interesting history. I got into the history of that book. It's very interesting. Did you know that every time that the nation of Israel got out of fellowship with God, they quit giving money to the temple? And the temple couldn't support its endeavors to promote the kingdom of God? Now what we've done is we've put a curse on you by saying, if you don't give to God, you're cursed. And God has never intended for any man to give the opposite of his heart. Because listen, the Abrahamic covenant is, receive life, therefore you will do. Now let me ask you something. What part of your inheritance would you not perform for God? Well, let me throw this on you. This is what I threw on one of my favorite mentors. I threw this on. Then what part of the Ten Commandments don't we perform? I'll tell you one I can't perform if I want to keep my tithe in the offering. I can't perform covetousness. What? That money's mine. You know what God's thoughts are? Here's God's thoughts. He wants to give you 100% of your income. He wants to put it right in your hands. Why? Because He wants a desire of your heart to desire what He desires.
Amen.
To do what He wants done.
Hallelujah.
It's all a heart thing. So that you can turn around and take the lower percentage of the 100%. Just 10%. Carol, I figured out one time, I can't be accurate on it, but we'd have our mortgage paid off. You know, it amazes me. Some people in body says, and God spoke this to me, some people in our body says, man, I'm debt free. I says, no, you're not. They look at me and says, we still owe on our property. So don't lie. You still have a responsibility. You know, outside of the house of God, that's butler's responsibility. That's not mine. No, you're not out of debt yet. We owe 1.2. You're part of that debt. We'll divide it all up in percentages, and those of you that are committed members will tell you what your portion is of debt. You don't like hearing that, do you? In the mind of God, that's the way it is. Now, God has to free you up so He can receive your tithe. Do you know Levi couldn't be brought into perfection because of their tithe, and they give it by due, therefore live? God couldn't even credit them with their giving. Why? Because He took it right back to Abraham. His part of fulfilling the Abrahamic covenant rested on His works, not theirs. That's why people that teach covenant today, you got to give God this in order to get that, and this to get that. That's a bunch of garbage. God already paid everything. Listen, you don't have to worry about no curse coming on you. The only thing that you got to worry, be concerned about, is that when you don't do your part, somebody else has to make up for it. That's all. You get a free ride. God don't care. You just get a free ride. The only thing is, there's no reward for it. Did you guys get something here today? I got something, but I want to lose it. I'll tell you, we're so bound by our thought life that thank God when we get into that area, you're going to find out what the real armor of God is that do warfare with the devil. And if you think it's suiting up every morning, you don't want to go there. Well, the reason the breastplate of righteousness is so important is because it covers my heart. The helmet of salvation covers my mind. Or really? Then why did Paul say in other areas of blessed, use different names for the armor in other passages of Scripture? Didn't even use the same identity to that. Those called the breastplate of love. One place. What is that all about? Well, it's because everybody got into the suiting up concept and didn't realize it's not what he was referring to. Everybody, are you ready to give? Are you ready to give joyfully? Are you ready to give because you simply have a heart for God and not Pastor Jan? You might be mad at me right now anyway. I'm going to tell you something.
I'm putting you into a position where you receive the anointing of God as never before. God's anointing on your income is predicated on the issues that are in your heart. Hey, if I shut my numero uno mentor down in his understanding, I hope I'm doing that to you in your understanding. Because the devil likes to get into our thought life and likes us to believe one thing, so we get out right out from under the anointing of God's blessing on our life. Hallelujah. If you'd like an envelope, raise your hands. The ushers will be glad to give you. You know what? Somebody said, well, the only reason you're preaching on money is you just want more of it. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I'm trying to do is convince you to put God to the test to prove His greatness. And the only way you can do that is if you have the right heart at what you're doing.
Right heart. I'm so sick of that. I'm the one that's got to go out there and work.
Yeah, and God's the one that's got to go out there and give you favor with mankind. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we receive your people's giving, I pray, Father, that they're standing in faith knowing that the purpose of their giving is not only an issue of their heart, Father, but also it's an issue of the responsibility of the temple where men need the money. The temple is taken care of in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and pass the bucket. This one time we can. I've heard so many testimonies already that it's incredible. Guy and Roz, they said they purposed in their heart to tithe. When they did, he said the windows of heaven opened up on them. Hallelujah. Roberta Whitesell? Where's Roberta? Roberta, are you here? Roberta Whitesell? She said she'd like to give a testimony about the tithe and offering from her life that I believe God has put on my heart to share. So go ahead, Roberta. Oh, we got to give her a magnophone.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to start by promising you guys that if you'll be faithful to tithe and tithe. With tithe, because it blesses God, because it's the God asks you to, then pretty soon you won't be tithing with a burden. Oh, here, God. You'll be tithing with joy and dancing, and 10% won't be enough anymore. Then together you'll say, God, this year we're going for 15%, and it's so exciting. But the Lord put on my heart that some people, this might bless you, that about 10 or 12 years ago, Lynn and I lived on a really tight budget.
Yes, I remember that.
Tight budget. And so I had an allotted amount for groceries. And every payday, I had this burden, this fear that it wouldn't be enough. And so I bound that fear, but it didn't budge. And boy, I went to the Lord and I said, you know, I'm so afraid that there's not going to be enough. And the Lord said to me, above your tithe, I want you to take $25 out of your grocery money. Take $25 out of your grocery money, which I was so afraid wouldn't be enough. He said, if you'll give me $25 out of your grocery money towards the missions, then there'll be more than enough. I said, all right. And so I started giving $25 out of our grocery money. And next thing you know, there was more than enough. And I'm telling you, within a couple months, not only was the fear gone, but we were feeding two other families and ours on the same money. And that is the truth. Because we lived in a very poor neighborhood, and there was a very poor old Greek couple. And then there was another Vietnam vet with two children. And they had nothing. And I got more 3-for-1 deals. And truly, the Lord will bless you. Trust Him. Trust Him. Okay?
Yes, that was good.
3 or 4 years, well, actually longer than that ago, longer. I always gave tithe because it was a commandment. It was God's 10%. And even when I wasn't serving the Lord with a whole heart, I would give my tithe, but it was because of a commandment. When the Lord started dealing with me on my heart, He said, and now He's taking me to the Old Testament where He even commanded the people to bring all the gold and silver. But He commanded Moses, He said, gather people with a willing heart to bring their gold and silver to build my temple. With a willing heart. Even in the Old Testament, God wanted the people's heart. The people's heart. And so, when the Lord said here about 8 years ago, He said, I want your heart. I don't want your money. I want your heart. Once it gets your heart, the money will flow, the money will go. Yeah. And He says, then the sickness and disease from your camp will leave too. Because He says, I have your heart. Right. It's all about your heart. Even in the Old Testament, your heart.
Uh-oh.
Bring your gold and silver.
Don't push my message, Ezra.
And what I come to realize, God will spend billions of dollars for one soul, for one heart. He sent Kenneth Copeland all the way to Jerusalem for one soul.
Hallelujah.
In a private chair. Yep. One soul. So what is the value? It's all your heart.
Yep. Yes. It's powerful. Everybody stand up. You get under that anointing, watch out. My God said He was big enough to prove Himself.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready now to go ahead and close the service. We've been too long. But dear Father, I thank You so much for You showing us the error of our ways. Father, I thank You so much for challenging our hearts and even giving unto You, Father. Father, You desire to twist no one's arm. You desire to do nothing. You desire their heart to be given in their offering, in their tithes. What a wonderful God You are. You haven't created us for any other purpose other than our hearts. And Father, as we close the service today, if there's anybody here, dear Father, that doesn't know You like we know You, and wants the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God, we'll be glad to lead them right on into Your presence. If there's anybody here that would like to get their heart right with You, they've been out of fellowship with You, they have the relationship but broke fellowship with You, we're willing to pray for them. If there's anybody here that needs healing, we're willing to pray for them. Father, if there's anybody here that needs to make decisions within their own heart in their giving, we want to pray with them. So if you fit any one of these areas, I'd like you to step up now and come forward, anybody. If you fit in any one of these areas, hallelujah, just feel free to come forward. Nobody's going to criticize you or make you feel bad or anything like that. But just come forward. We want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come right here, honey. Anybody else?